All right, Agile for Humans listeners, before we get started, I just wanted to make sure that the community was aware of the GoFundMe page for Mike Beadle's family. Some of you may already know that Mike Beadle was murdered in downtown Chicago this past weekend. He leaves behind his wife and six kids. The GoFundMe was set up to help support his family as they figure out next steps, go through the grieving process, and just to make a some of their burdens lighter as they try to process just this horrible tragedy. The site is gofundme.com/MikeBeadleSupport. The link is in the show notes, and would just encourage everyone who's able to please show support to Mike's family during this time. Just condolences and prayers and support go out to them, and if we can support them as a community, if you're able to do that, that would just be wonderful. Very tragic event, and normally we do the music and some kind of intro. I think we're just going to pass on a lot of that this week and just go into the conversation. I do want to say thank you to our new patron, Alice Ostrako. Thank you for signing up on Patreon. That helps us keep the show going. Your generosity is wonderful. But yeah, let's skip the intros. I just want to make sure our subscriber was thanked. And let's just get into the show. So joining me today are Kurt Bittner and Patricia Kong from scrum.org. Kurt and Patricia, let's take it away.
Hello.
We're good.
We're good.
So there's been a big event at scrum.org recently. The new Nexus guide came out.
Yeah, we just published the first change to the Nexus guide. So Nexus guide, Nexus was first launched in 2015 and be the very first update. And it's really good because it's coming right out after the Scrum guide, the last Scrum guide update. So we're able to align a lot of notions there.
So, for the listeners out there who are not familiar with Nexus, could you two give just a quick overview, how it's different from Scrum, what it kind of embraced and added on to Scrum, and just how Nexus works? I know it's normally a 2-day course, but how about what's the 1 or 2 minute version?
So I'll start with this. Nexus is a framework that's built off of Scrum, and it's for multiple teams working together to build one product. And it's different in Scrum in that it's meant for multiple teams. So there be some additional things that we added to look at that increased complexity and to lift up that transparency. It's really funny because one of the everybody asks about the major changes, but one of the minor changes is that we used to call and define Nexus as the exoskeleton of Scrum. And I have a presentation, I'm showing a picture, but what that was intended to mean was that it was something that could be put over multiple Scrum teams working together and be a barrier to strengthen them, but also protect them. And now we have a much more normal definition was that it's a connection, which is the real definition of Nexus, the connection of people and teams working together. And that's it. Did I miss anything, Kurt?
Well, I think one of the interesting things at one of our events, one of your peers, Ryan, mentioned that as he learned about Nexus, he referred to it as it's a way of scaling Scrum without destroying its soul. And I think that's an interesting way to think about it, is that many times when people try to scale, they think that it has to become big, it has to become sort of heavyweight, it maybe has to become a bit more sort of top down. And the intent of Nexus is to keep all the good things about Scrum, all of the things related to self-organizing teams and improving collaboration, and provide a very minimal layer on top of that to just deal with the cross-team dependencies and the challenges that come up when you have multiple teams working on one product. So I like to think of Scrum as that it's the minimum set of things that you need to do to really do Agile well. And Nexus is sort of the same way. It's the minimum set of things that you need to do Scrum well in a multi-team environment.
Let me just pull on that a little bit. So that was with a professional Scrum trainer from New Zealand. His name is Edwin Dando. And we had been talking about Nexus, and it actually brought me back when he said, this is scaling without crushing the soul. This is we're agilists. This is about the bottom-up intelligence that's needed. And it brought me back to that genesis where with Ken, we were saying, well, this is about the teams, how are they working together and how they could scale. So what do we need to do that? And one of the longest and worst hashtags, but we have hashtag scaled Scrum is still Scrum. And it's exactly that. It's that notion there.
It is a pretty big hashtag, but I like it. Normally I will not have a discussion about scaling Agile or scaling Scrum on the podcast. And because, you know, all the frameworks that everything just gets so large and convoluted, what draw me into Nexus is that we're trying to decouple and shrink the problem. I really appreciate that differentiator. You know, when you look at Safe, it's everything in the kitchen sink, pick and choose, and good luck, right? With, you know, with less, and, you know, this new enterprise Scrum, you're really not sure what's at the core of what they're trying to accomplish, other than just do big things in a big way. And what I really like is how Nexus says, let's just focus on the teams, let's figure out how to decouple, let's figure out how to really prioritize, let's figure out how to really support, you know, all these teams working, get the problems out of this complex space back to simple, as small as possible, and still deliver. And you guys carried through, I think that comment about maintaining the soul of Scrum is so appropriate, because that's all what Scrum is. We're taking complex things, we're trying to move them back to the complicated space, get them built, get them shipped, get the feedback, and continue building incrementally. You know, I don't know how you do that with any other scaling framework. So it is really neat that carried through. I mean, is that fair, or have I totally misrepresented what we're after?
I think that that's actually really fair and very well said. So thank you. I guess we've been doing something correctly. But it's almost like the message is, hey, if you need to, actually don't scale. What do you need to do before you scale? And be really careful of what you're trying to scale. If you really want to have that conversation about scaling, what is it that you're actually trying to scale? Because if you don't have something good, it's like taking, you know, something bad, putting it in front of a fan and just blowing it, right? So it's really that notion, and the Scrum.org message is don't scale if you don't have to. And then this is about the teams, right? It isn't about, oh, we want to scale and that's a fad and we're going to tell the teams what to do. They need to do this now. This is about organically, how are we growing? And as a matter of fact, I was talking to Ken Schwaber probably a couple months back, and he asked me, Trish, has anybody said that this doesn't seem too new? And I said, yeah. And it's because organically what we did was, if you're doing Scrum well and you're using Scrum well, you need to scale. This is what it's going to look like. And it's going to feel the same. And that's what you want to keep. A lot of people get into the whole notion of Scrum zombies. And when I did a talk about, you know, scaling Scrum without crushing its souls, what I showed as a Scrum zombie was just a really smart person who was like, I'm not going to do this. I'm unengaged. And this is really about the connection between people, which is what we needed to, what we think is important, and binding people together, binding teams, and then thinking about how do you break up stuff to remove dependencies.
Well, one thing I think people make some mistakes when they, especially if they've got an existing project or program and it's very large, and they think, well, you know, I've got, you know, hundreds, maybe, you know, even thousands of people working on this. So, you know, I need to basically figure out how to manage thousands of people on this single program. And as Patricia was saying, that the first thing that you need to do is basically scale down, not assume that you need thousands of people, but rather work organically from the bottom up, start developing a cadence, do all the things that you need to do in Scrum, do that well, and then gradually add teams and people as you need to scale up, and watch for the dependencies as you go along. Do other, you know, other things that you need to do in Scrum, like, you know, helping to remove impediments. You know, you still need to do that in Nexus as well. But this idea that, you know, that you've got a large problem, therefore it's going to require lots of people. Many successful case studies around Scrum involve taking a project that maybe had, you know, 400 people, thinking the FBI, was it the Sentinel project, and, you know, you had hundreds of people, and the first thing that they did basically was reduce it to a small team, get good Scrum practices in place, and they found that a small team could deliver much more than that larger team was capable of. So I think that's maybe the first message, even before you apply Nexus, is first, you know, scale down before you scale up, and then use the Nexus practices on top of Scrum to add those teams and remove the dependencies between the teams.
Yeah, it's a common pattern. It's one that I've seen recently where a company wants to hire 100 devs by the end of the year, except perhaps the work doesn't support that. And so it's typically the cart before the horse, I think, is kind of the pattern you're talking about, is we think we need, you know, hundreds of people to build these big things, but, you know, so often I've seen where, first of all, trying to hire 100 devs in a major city is difficult and very expensive. And so in the meantime, you have a team of 8 people who are just crushing the product backlog. They're hitting their sprint goals. They're delighting their product owner and their customers. And at some point you just realize, yeah, we need to add another team to support this this suite of tools, but we didn't need 100. And as long as we manage those dependencies, we can actually continue with 2 or 3 teams and be very effective. You know, I know I see that pattern fairly frequently. Is this really the pattern that we're working against as we bring Nexus into the market and into companies? All right, so before Patricia and Kurt answer that question, I want to tell you about this show's sponsor, TechWell. So the development industry is changing, and we are constantly facing new challenges, pressures, and opportunities in the Agile arena. In fact, the increased demand may have you asking, how do I keep up with it all? Learn how at Agile Dev West, taking place June 3rd through the 8th in Las Vegas, Nevada. Agile Dev West offers you the perfect opportunity to get away from the office distractions, to immerse yourself and improve your skills in areas such as Agile and Lean development, scaled Agile development, DevOps, AI and machine learning, digital transformation, leadership, and more. Choose from over 100 learning opportunities to learn from industry leaders, find solutions to your challenges, and network with industry peers. Agile for Humans listeners, use the code AFH18 to receive 10% off your conference registration. Check out this conference and more at well.tc/agile. And just wanted to let the Agile for Humans listeners know, Faye Thompson and I will be keynoting at Agile Dev West, so we will both be present. Many of the people on the show that you hear each and every week will be present as well, doing sessions and other kinds of workshops and talks. This conference is going to be fun. There's a really neat lineup of speakers. I'm very excited to actually attend the sessions and the workshops. When I'm not presenting workshops, I think this one's going to be a blast. So if you've been on the fence, if you've been thinking about whether or not to do a TechWell event, I really think Agile Dev West is going to be amazing. I hope the Agile for Humans community, I hope you all can show up and see Faye and I do a keynote in front of the entire conference. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, use that code AFH18. Get a reduced price on your registration. Come and check this out. Let's all learn and explore together. I hope as many of you as possible can come out and join us, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you there. All right, let's get back to Kurt and Patricia.
But I think there are certainly preconceptions about what scaling means, and one of the things that we run into a lot is that an organization will say, well, we think Agile's a good thing. We've had some good success with Scrum. Now we want to roll it out everywhere.
Right.
And that also isn't very scalable in a sense, because people need to get used to working together as a team, and they need to build their skills, and they need to remove impediments. And so the other thing that I find is that organizations scale team by team and product by product, and that trying to roll out something like Scrum using a waterfall process just doesn't make sense. And what I mean by that is that where you've got, you need to train X number of people per month, and then you roll them onto teams, X number of people, and you need, dozens of Scrum Masters simultaneously. And that also is not very, very much in the spirit of Scrum. So, the thing I like about both Scrum and Nexus is it focuses on building good, effective, strong teams, helping them to work together better, and then using that as the basis for both product delivery, but also ultimately scaling. So I think, the other piece is that, when organizations adopt things like Nexus, working more organically and continually focusing on building good, strong, cross-functional teams that are empowered is really the important thing. That's where you get the productivity, not by checking off the box that you've spun up X number of teams and they're all sort of launched and ready to go, because your point about you can't hire 100 developers overnight, and you also can't basically enable that hundreds or dozens of teams overnight. Everybody has a different adoption rate and progress, and you have to respect that.
The opposite of this notion, the alternate notion of scale Scrum is still Scrum is what Kurt's saying is don't use waterfall to scale Agile, right? So it's that notion that's in there. And I've definitely seen with Nexus different scenarios. And it's hey, let's start. We're going to start small and we're going to, you know, do this really well. And that works, right? Building that solid ground. And you've seen other teams, it's just they have that. That's what their situation with the organization is. They have several teams and they've been using Scrum and now they're going to use Nexus and they face different problems. Like, you know, what's our product? How are we going to do this? And they have to get through that. And that's with good practices. But it's interesting. It's just, you know what, in the end, it's almost do what works. And Agile isn't the goal. Nexus isn't the goal. It's delivering and delighting your customers, delivering value to your customers. And that's where we have been talking a lot about measurement, but that's for another day.
So along with aligning to the new Scrum Guide, and listeners will remember, we had Dave West on a few episodes ago to tell us about the Scrum Guide updates, which were somewhat significant. I think it expanded the role of Scrum outside of software, or it at least made that more explicit. We added a continuous improvement item from the sprint retrospective back to the product backlog. We made the three questions in the daily Scrum optional explicitly, right? Instead of the legalist view of the Scrum Guide was thou shalt answer the questions and do it for every person, and now it's more free form and optional. So aside from aligning to some of those changes in the Nexus Guide, what were some of the other big changes or some of the even just mental shifts or some things that really stand out to the two of you about what's in this new update?
So in general, the big theme that we followed with the Scrum Guide, and it was in there in general for the Nexus Guide, was around the notion of continuous improvement. So there are slight things that are in there. But I would say the two things really were very much around, so clarification, it's the first update. And the first thing we needed to just add a little bit more around was around the new role of the Nexus integration team. And then just the notion of, actually two more things, was this notion of lifting transparency. Transparency is so important at scale. It's important in general, but even at scale. And then the notion of us adding the Creative Commons license. So we wanted to make this open to everybody in the world. It was already offered free on our website, but adding that license is saying, hey, we are sharing this with the whole world and everybody can reuse its content. So that's truly in line with us trying to follow our mission at Scrum.org, which is improving the profession of software delivery.
So that the notion of the Nexus integration team, we always joke about it's one of those names that we're obviously very poor at choosing names because the key things to remember about the Nexus integration team is that, first of all, it's not really a team. And the second thing is that it doesn't do integration. And what we mean by that is that most of the people on the Nexus integration team are really full-time members of the Scrum teams. And the Nexus integration team isn't responsible for integrating the product that the Scrum teams produce, but rather it's accountable for the overall delivery of the Nexus. And so most of the time, the Scrum teams are going to do the integration work and everything just works normally. So when everything's running perfectly, the Nexus integration team is kind of this thing that sits in the background. It's really more conceptual. Got the product owner and the Nexus integration team and a Scrum Master for the Nexus, but otherwise the members are mostly virtual. But when the Scrum teams aren't able to deliver a working increment, then it can be difficult sometimes for those Scrum teams to really collaborate effectively. Sometimes it's the very collaboration between the teams that's preventing them from delivering working software or working product. And so then these people who are on the Scrum teams who are part of the Nexus integration team, then essentially then form together. They understand the issues from a bottom-up standpoint, and they then help the rest of the Scrum teams resolve whatever issues are there. And so it's in a sense a team that comes into being or really becomes visible when things are going badly and when the Nexus needs some help in correcting. And so that's one of the major misconceptions that, you know, we sometimes hear people who just hear the term Nexus integration team object to that and say, well, you know, that sounds like there's a, you know, the big team of, you know, the big brains, and you know, they're going to kind of keep everybody in line. And that's not it at all. It's really more of a way of using bottom-up intelligence to self-organize around solving that problem, but in a way that's more structured than just saying, well, you know, people on the Scrum teams are just going to get together and do the right thing, because sometimes they can't, and you need a way of breaking through that.
All right, so the intent of the Nexus integration team is to have that accountability, and it's, you know, somebody, if it was, we get in the time machine, maybe we would call it the Nexus enablement team. But it's that notion of integration was so important, and maybe it's just about integrating the team. So they're not actually doing the work, and but they're really just driving the focus on integration for the entire Nexus, right? So they're representatives from the different teams. They're comprised of the right people. I wouldn't expect that it's all Scrum Masters or anything like that. And they're there to help coach and guide. Almost some people might bend and say it's almost like the Scrum Master to Scrum. That's what the Nexus integration team is to Nexus. But there's two things. It's to drive accountability for the entire Nexus, and also to make sure that bottom-up intelligence is there. So in addition to it not being an integration team, it is also not a management team, which could be the other misconception. There's no authority in that sense, but it's very much a we are them, they are us. How do we work together as a Nexus?
It's a good clarification. You know, the name is interesting. It's an integration of the teams across the entire, you know product. It's a way to increase and bring transparency, actually it feels like it enables and ensures or preserves transparency. And so naming aside, certainly a necessary function, and thanks for that deep dive on it, because I think that is one of those contentious points. Even in, you know, some of our face-to-faces as PSTs, people still bring up the NIT and how that works, and there's a lot of confusion. So I appreciate you walking through that, and hopefully we've dispelled another Scrum myth with that. Alongside of the updated Nexus guide came a book. So you're now, I don't know if you were before, Patricia, but you're now a published author along with Kurt and Dave with the Nexus Framework for Scaling Scrum. It's from Addison Wesley. It's part of a new series from Scrum.org. It's the Professional Scrum Series. Now, that's a huge accomplishment. I'm actually just starting the process of doing a book with the Pragmatic Programmers, and I'm at page one, and you've completed, and I think I'd rather be where you're sitting, because I'm starting to learn the crazy journey of writing a book. But congratulations, first and foremost, to the two of you. And what can you tell us about this book?
Awesome. Thank you. So if I hit it first, it is my first book. So 2017, I tweeted this, actually. I wrote a book. 2018, I'm going to learn how to swim. But it is. I think this book was really interesting because we already have a lot of information out there about Nexus in general, just about the framework, case studies, white papers, what would this look like, a lot of deep dive. And so Kurt and I, when we were thinking, and especially Kurt had a great idea, is let's weave some real, well, a case study into this. And what are those challenges that organizations face when they're thinking about scaling? And what would that look? And what are the good decisions and bad decisions? And so how would they start to adopt Nexus, and then actually, in addition to that, what other kind of practices would they adopt to help them succeed? So I'll let Kirk get into it more, but it's definitely a really nicely woven story with the theory of Nexus, talking about Scrum, additional practices that people can use and pick up. And it just hits everything. It hits everything from, you know, scaling crap to distributed teams to so many dysfunctions in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was. We did have this challenge because the Nexus guide is out there. You know, it is comprehensive. There's not anything left out of it, but it's also written in a very declarative style. So it just, you know, almost not quite like a legal document, but you know, it's very declarative. It says this is what a Nexus integration team is. This is how it's composed, etc. So what's left missing from the Nexus guide is really examples of how to apply the ideas. And so we came up with this idea of having a case study of a team or a small company delivering a product, and they start off as one team, they get through sort of a prototype, that looks good, they get some additional funding, they want to take the product to market faster, so they need to hire more people and add more teams. And then as they grow, they start to run into these complexities. They try just an informal scrum of scrums first, and then they found some problems with that. And then gradually they learn, they apply some Nexus ideas, and then they run into some other problems. And it wasn't necessarily meant as a compliment, but one of the reviewers of the book, another PST, commented that, well, you know, the team in this book is just making all the mistakes everybody always makes. And, you know, can't you just, you know, tell them, you know, describe how to do it right? But we actually wanted to show the common errors that people make. And first of all, show that you can recover from those. You know, if you stumble at first and you don't achieve what you want, you learn. You know, we always talk about inspect and adapt. So you learn, you improve. And to show how the concepts of Nexus can help a team overcome those problems, overcome the scaling problems. And so it was not necessary to illustrate them having the problem and then show how Nexus can do it. So I like the way that it worked out with, you know, we've got case study interspersed with commentary on how the practices and techniques in Nexus help to solve specific problems. And as Patricia mentioned, you know, we've got everything in there from mixed hardware and software to distributed teams to, you know, and different time zones and all the problems that come out of that. Teams actually working for different companies. We've got outsourcing kinds of and cross-company collaboration issues. And yet the book is nice and compact. It's about 150 pages. So we kept it nice and concise.
Somehow we kept it short.
And you can read it in an evening or on a train or on an airplane or something like that. And what I hope it will do is give people some ideas on how to apply Nexus and how Nexus could help them in the problems that they're solving. Even if they're not using all of Nexus, they might find some parts of it that are beneficial. And then over time, they might use more.
Yeah. And it's kind of... the inspiration for that too is also in our two-day course that we have, where I ask that course be like a case study. So it's experiential, and the fact that you come in and in our workshop we say, hey, all right, what are we going to do, and what does Nexus Sprint Planning feel like? How would we do cross team refinement? How would we do a scaled retrospective? How do you form a Nexus integration team? How do you form a Nexus? And it's all that experience, the how, because like we said, the Nexus guide goes into the what, and this kind of hits the how, which I hope is helpful for the community out there.
Yeah, certainly a valuable guide to anyone looking to scale their Scrum practices, and hopefully they go out and pick up the book. There will be links in the show notes to the book where you can pick it up on Amazon. Or is there a better place to buy it?
Anywhere you can find it, I think.
Anywhere you can find it. So, all right, so we'll point to Amazon. So we'll get the links in there. We'll highlight the book to the listeners, because it is, I think it's a different take on scaling that perhaps many of you have not seen before. And, you know, hopefully this conversation has at least sparked some interest and you'll check it out. At 150 pages, I'll certainly... I think we have copies setting out to the PSTs on the way. If not, I'll pick one up and read it on the train and check it out. So very exciting stuff. Congratulations again on getting the book published. Congratulations on the new Nexus guide coming out. I know those are both very complicated and fun, but ultimately worthwhile journeys. When I think about all of that work you've done in this space, and especially, you know, Ken Schwaber did the forward to this book. I know he's still involved in the Scrum Guide and the Nexus Guide. Can you share just what it's like to work with Ken collaboratively on these efforts? You know, he's co-creator of Scrum, considered to be a genius in our community, has really done a lot for many people's careers. You know, just curious the day-to-day or the interactions, if you have anything to share about just collaborating with Ken and what kind of experience that's been.
I think the most valuable thing for me is that Ken is incredibly insightful, and also has this sort of really fantastic ability to immediately find the flaws in whatever you're working on and pull it out. And so basically that transparency and that, you know, this inspecting and adapting is not just sort of a mantra. It's sort of more of a way of life, and so Ken really embodies that and challenges you to do your best and to really be clear about things. And so that's sort of an incredible both motivation and also an example.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to work with Ken for 5 or 6 years and, you know, have a personal relationship with him. And I think I adore him, and he's very funny. He's fun. He is very focused, and he's just like an ultimate Jedi, what Kurt was saying, in general. And I emailed him the other day and said, hey, my car is kind of falling apart. When should I buy a new car? Because he used to be an auto mechanic. And instead of just telling me, he's going to just pose two questions and have me really think about it. Do I really need a car? And that's what it's like to work with him, right? So it's elevating my own thinking, and it's elevating his thinking. And we can create something new. And that's what it was like when we were writing the Nexus Guide together. He certainly, obviously for him, the Scrum Guide was very important, but he certainly trusts us in many different facets, but he's very strong at vision, focus. And it's just been a pleasure. Roller coaster, but pleasure.
Very good. So at this point of the show, I'd like to open it up to the two of you to promote anything that's going on with Scrum.org, if there's any upcoming courses. I know people will want to check out Nexus and Scaled Scrum, and anything that you'd like to share with the Agile for Humans community. It's all fair game. And also, well, not everything. We set some limits with Patricia before the show. So not everything.
We have to do a late night Agile for Humans.
We should do this. Yes, we should do Agile for Humans after dark.
Ryan, is the Patriots, the Super Bowl, up for discussion?
Yes, you can bring that up if you like. But since I live in Indiana and that's the home of the Colts, it might get interesting.
But that's
fair. So you can bring up the Patriots. Congratulations. I hope Philadelphia wins. And other than that, how can they continue the conversation with you? Twitter, LinkedIn, things like that. So the floor is yours for you two to share, and can't wait to see what you come up with.
So I'll start. Several things that I'll try to be clear about is the Nexus Guide, the update, it's already up. It's on the Scrum.org website. So that's the updated Nexus Guide. You can read that there. There's a lot of different, it's like an information radiator on that page. So there's a lot of case studies, white papers, etc. We do have an upcoming class, the 2-day workshop that I talked about, Scaled Professional Scrum, where you walk through what does it feel like to be a Nexus, how would you start it. I suggest you come if you're in if you have several teams, bring people that are in your team, because that's the best way to transfer the knowledge, is to not have to transfer it at all. So that is in March in Boston website. So there's a class up there. I think Kurt, Dave, and I will be here. So if people bring their books, we'll sign them. I don't know if that'll make it more valuable or not. Probably won't. So that's there. And we have several classes that are listed on the Scrum.org website. If you have any questions, I'm on Twitter, pmoonk88, just Chinese people like that number, and hand it over to you.
Yeah, the only thing I have to add is that we're also doing a Scale Professional Scrum. Steve Porter and I are doing a Scale Professional Scrum class at the Agile India event March 10th or 12th. So if any of your community members are in India and are going to be in Bangalore or Bengaluru, then we'll have that there. We're also doing a Train the Trainer on the third day. So if there's any PSDs out there that are listening who are interested in becoming trainers for the SPS course, then we'll have that. We also have blogs regularly, usually about scaling and leadership topics, and those are on the Scrum.org website. So if you subscribe to our blogs, then you'll get those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so we brought up the Indy one. I completely forgot that I will be in May in Gothenburg doing one with Frederick Wendt, another Scale Professional Scrum class, and that will also be a TTT. In May. And other than that, Kurt and I are kind of jamming away, thinking about, things that are beyond the control of a Nexus, but also outside of politics. So we're looking at things around measurement, measuring value, and portfolio management. So we're doing some development on that right now.
Very good. So we'll get links in the show notes to upcoming courses. I'll check the scrum.org site and get some links out for there. I was just talking about our global reach with another person on a call earlier today. We do actually have a growing listener base in India. It's pretty amazing. It's predominantly a U.S. Podcast, but we are starting to get a significant portion of our listenership is overseas and in India, so that hopefully they've listened to this show by the time we get it out and they're able to join you at that course. It sounds like it's going to be a good event. Yeah. Well, all right, Patricia and Kurt, thank you again for doing the show. Really enjoyed hearing about the new things with Nexus. Congratulations again on the book. I think the only thing left to say is go Eagles.
Go Pats. Go Thanks, Pats. Ryan.
No, and in all seriousness, if the Patriots win this one, it's got to be the greatest dynasty in NFL history. So
we'll
see how that goes, but it's really amazing. I thought Jacksonville had them, but nope. You have to be up 40 points on Tom Brady before the end of the game. So
surprise.
If you have any questions about Nexus, anything about what we discussed today, leave them and we'll forward those on to people who can answer them at scrum.org or some other listeners familiar with Nexus, and we'll get those answered and check those out. So again, thanks for listening. Thanks for being there and have a great afternoon.